5 account. It's John Shannon for this Friday, end of the week. Yippee. Weather's good here in Southern Ontario. Hey, hope it's nice where you are.
This is, you know, I've been involved in the National Hockey League for 44 years. This is kind of like Christmas Eve, the day before the Stanley Cup playoffs start. Now, the regular season hasn't ended yet, but the day before the Stanley Cup playoffs start. And there's just something magical about it. It's a cool feeling. It kind of gets the hair standing on the back of your neck. The second season, it's a great time to be watching hockey, you know, even though the weather is great.
Well, for hockey fans, that would be true. For non-hockey fans, they have no idea what you're talking about. Now, what is intriguing here is that...
Well, when you consider we're the number three podcast in Canada for hockey, you think most people who listen to us...
Well, perhaps we should do hockey all the time and then we'd be number one. But we're not going to do that, so...
Oh, did we have a meeting on that? Did we have a committee meeting?
I did have a meeting, yes, and I decided. I surveyed all the important people, and we collectively decided, unanimously, by the way, that we're not going to take that step.
There could be a mutiny here soon. So.
Well, you know, it's happened to the best of captains, right?
Okay, Captain Queeg.
So, this notion of starting the playoffs before the regular season is over, of course, has never happened.
Nope.
And I understand there are mitigating circumstances here. Mm-hmm. But does this concern you in any way?
No.
You don't care?
No, because the games, the games that in the regular season that are being finished don't really matter. And what they are doing is, because the players and the owners are partners, they are just fulfilling contractual obligations, Bob. So it doesn't matter.
So it's about money.
Isn't it always about money?
Pretty much. Just, okay. But I mean, you know, at least say it's about money, not say imply that it's about something else.
I don't think they've avoided it. I just don't think they've talked about it. So.
Well, but you do. I mean, it's contractual obligations is not same.
No,
as,
I don't think there's any question. Anyway, the playoffs start tomorrow on Saturday.
Well,
we'll
address all this. Mike Zeisberger of NHL.com is going to join us, and Kevin Paul DuPont of the Boston Globe. And we'll go through the matchups and, you know, whatever else we deem interesting or that comes to mind more likely. But one of the things that occurs to me right away is that by starting the playoffs this early, when the regular season isn't even done, you open up the door to long delays between round one and round two and teams having to sit for a lengthy period of time. And you can shake your head all you want, John. For those that are listening on radio or on audio, John's shaking his head.
No, because the schedule's already out, and there's no delays.
They've been able
to mitigate it.
One team is in a four-game series. The other two teams play a seven-game series. And then you're going to have a week.
And if the team
that had the four-game series starts earlier than the other two teams, you know, you could have lengthy delays. And this is always, every bleeping year, you know, this is a debate. The relative merits of, are you better off to have the 7 or 8 days rest, or do you get rusty? And that was the only question I was going to ask you before you so rudely interrupted me.
Oh, sure. So now the people will be all over me for interrupting you one more time.
Well, if it looks like a duck.
I think after this 56-game schedule, compacted dates, I think the rest is much more advantageous. I'm not worried about the rust.
Well, I don't necessarily disagree with that assessment.
So that means you agree.
No, I just said I don't necessarily disagree.
That's a double negative, though.
Well, but I don't know what the answer is. I don't know what the true answer is. And because you say one thing doesn't necessarily mean it's true.
No, actually, if I say one thing, you definitely disagree.
Well, on most things, yes. I'm at least giving you the benefit of the doubt here and suggesting I don't know what the answer is. Because over the last 40 or so years, I've heard both explanations.
But this is such a strange season, Bob. This was such a different... I may have a different opinion in an 82-game schedule that has been over 185 days. this has been like,
well, but so what does that mean? Does it mean it means less?
Well, I think there's less wear and tear on players' bodies in an 82 game schedule over almost 200 days.
I think we agree, John. Okay. But does that mean that one team sitting for 7 days, and of course this is theoretical, has a greater or less advantage under these circumstances?
Why don't we ask our guests?
In other words, you don't have a definitive answer for that question.
I've already given you my answer.
Well, repeat it.
I think the rest is more important at this time of year, in this season particularly.
All right. Well, John, we shall see. And if you prove to be in error,
you'll bury me again.
And I hesitantly add once again, yes, I will. I'll be sure to bring this topic up again. Just to make sure that everybody knows exactly how dumb you are. Now have a sip of whatever it is you're drinking there.
Java.
Well, I hope it's not something alcoholic at this hour, but nonetheless. Zeisberger and DuPont.
Maybe it should be.
Oh, I'm pretty sure it should be. Zeisberger and DuPont when we come back after these messages. It's McCallan. It's Shannon. And off we go for another day, another show. Joining us, two hockey pucks. Mike Zeisberger of NHL.com, Kevin Paul DuPont of the Boston Globe in the room. Greetings to both of you guys. As we, John's very excited about the beginning of the Stanley Cup playoffs.
I always am.
You'd think Absolutely. After about 80 or 90 years of watching this event take place, he'd be a little more passive about it. But
No. Listen, I remember when these two guys were Cub reporters running around the Boston Garden and Maple Leaf Gardens.
Oh,
come on. Well, of course, there weren't many playoff games at Maple Leaf Gardens. There weren't many playoff games at Maple Leaf Gardens, though, Mike. So,
to put this in context, Shannon also remembers the phrase George Vezina kick save and a beauty. So,
and two line offside.
Even I can remember that one, DuPont.
Hey, listen, I was in the broadcast booth beside Brian McFarland and Billy Hewitt when Montreal played Toronto the last time in the playoffs.
Wow.
So
well, we'll get to that.
Who brought the cans and who brought the string?
No kidding. We'll get to that in a moment. I'm going to just arbitrarily start in the West. Minnesota and Las Vegas. Vegas, best team in the NHL over the course of the regular season until the last game that Colorado played.
Mm-hmm.
But did not play particularly well against Minnesota. And that is a common thing in all sports where I don't know whether it's, well, I'll let you guys answer, you know, matchup, psychological, there's, you know, that always happens. Are we likely to see, or is it even a significant chance we will see an upset in that series? DuPont, to you first.
It wouldn't surprise me. I would say to start with your premise, there's a lot of people who haven't played well against the Wild this year, and I'm quite surprised by that. I think Billy Guerin's done a terrific job there. Kaprizov, by my eye, is one of the, top 6 to 8 most exciting players to watch in terms of especially his skating skill. It's just astounding, his edge work. So I would, I go into every playoff every year saying I wouldn't be surprised. This one would be middle of the road surprise to me just because Minnesota's been that good.
Vegas has had injuries and cap issues and so haven't really played at full strength.
Well, and the cap issues go away today.
That's right. So presumably, Z, that will help the Golden Knights. Agreed?
No, it definitely will, Bob. And I think that another thing that a lot of people haven't talked about is that Alex Pietrangelo, who was obviously the big free agent signing in the offseason, he's struggled at times this year. He's been hurt at times this year. If you look at his body of work in the last 3 weeks, this is the Alex Pietrangelo that we've seen hoist in the Stanley Cup 2 years ago with the St. Louis Blues. This is the guy that they spent all that money for. This is the guy that actually they had to some nights dress less than the full amount of players because of cap issues. because they were so invested in Alex Pietrangelo. So I think that this guy is going to be a wild card. I don't think that, and it sounds silly because 2 years ago, he was, like I said, the captain of the Stanley Cup champions. I don't think enough is being talked about this guy. I think that he's a difference maker. I do think that you know, people shouldn't sleep on Minnesota. And the one thing about Minnesota, and I hope I pronounce his name right, and I'm glad Kev said it first and before me, but Kaprizov.
You can get Kaprizov right, but you can't get Pietrangelo? Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah, his dad's going to be all over me, and Mr. Stamkos too, you know that, but because all those families know each other from growing up in Toronto. But it's just, for the last decade, every time Minnesota's gone in the playoffs, even when they've had home ice advantage, I've never bought into them because I look at the roster and I say, this is, who on this roster scares you? Who in a one goal game or in overtime, when he steps on the ice, do you go, wow, you know, let's keep the puck away from him? You know, Zach Parise has been a good player for them over the years. He hasn't been a great one. The same with Suter. I mean, they're very steady players that are productive. But I would say that not since Marian Gaborik has there been a wow factor for a player playing in Minnesota like this kid. And I think that's a big factor, because you can see his teammates around him, even though he's a rookie, alleged, you can see the confidence oozing from them. So I don't think Vegas can sleep on these guys.
What's fascinating, you mentioned Zach Parise's name. If you go back through the regular season, the fortunes of this team change when Dean Evason benched Zach Parise for a game in Vegas. And everybody at that point knew that the players weren't running the show anymore, because that was always the accusation in Minnesota, was the guys like Suter and Parise, who had the big contacts, they were behind the scenes screwing things up. Well, Parise's played fourth line minutes, and he's contributed more as a fourth liner or a third liner than he has ever did when he was a first liner the last couple of years. And the other big question for me is, we saw this in the bubble last year, tell me who the starting goaltender for the Vegas Golden Knights is going to be. Because everybody thought before the bubble, all Flower's going to do it. Marc-Andre Fleury's going to be the guy. And next thing you know, it's Robin Lehner. And it became a bit of a controversy.
Yeah, but does it matter? They're both really good.
Well, does it matter? You know, remember what Marc-Andre Fleury's agent did.
Yeah, I don't.
And I mean, do you need in a year that has been full of stress and strain, do you need another distraction? And I think this one's on Peter DeBoer. He's got to be able to make sure that he doesn't have a distraction anymore when it comes to the goaltending for Vegas.
KP, does it matter?
I would say every coach should have that problem, to have two excellent goaltenders going into the playoffs. And you know, both Pittsburgh and both Washington are dealing with rookies. You know, which rookie do you choose? So I think that's a good choice. To Z's point earlier about Minnesota, totally agree. So much of their lineup for so long has been parts, which doesn't do justice to Parise and Suter. I understand that. But those guys are foundational players, and every team wants those players. But in terms of separation and, if you will, eye candy in this series, Vegas has a lot of it by my eye, and Minnesota finally has it with that Kaprizov. I find him an astounding player.
We can't spend too much time on each series, so let's move along. The other one in this series is in this division is St. Louis, Colorado. And on the surface, this would look like fairly one-sided. From the standpoint, it's a 1-4, and Colorado was a lot of people's pick at the beginning of the year. And I don't think they've done anything to dissuade anybody. But is it one-sided? Is this obviously Colorado's series to lose? Z, to you first.
Well, Bob, if you say it's Colorado's series to lose, yes. I mean, they're my pick for the Stanley Cup. I think they would have had a good shot last year had their goaltending not evaporated. And then that's, again, you know, full kudos to Michael Hutchison coming in there and you know, playing the way that he did. But, you know, you lose in overtime of game 7 to Dallas. That was a tough pill to swallow. But I don't think he can sleep on the St. Louis Blues. And I know I'm stating the obvious because they won the cup 2 years ago. But what fascinates me is this is going to be a series of two styles. Okay, Craig Berube knows that his St. Louis Blues team, even without Pietrangelo, they're successful when they won the cup, and Kev knows, he saw it in Boston, they outgrew in the Bruins. They play north-south, they play old school. They put the puck into the corner and they go and they hit you. Colorado, I mean, they're more of a team that looks to get, you know, the perfect score of 10 from the Russian judge for artistic merit. They go back and forth, they go east and west. You know, there's a lot of pizzazz to their game. So I'm fascinated because this, like I said, this is a clash of two styles. And I saw 2 years ago, because I covered the final three rounds of the Blues, they can wear out defensemen very, very easily by just continually pounding. And, you know, so Cale Makar on the back end for Colorado, and another kid, Sam Girard, who I think is one of the most underrated players in this league. They're great if you give them ice, but let's see how they stand up to St. Louis's physical play.
Mr. DuPont?
I agree with much of that depiction. I don't feel it for St. Louis going into this series, just because they were very spotty during the year. I would feel great about St. Louis going into this series if they had, to touch back on Z's point, Pietrangelo on the back line.
Yeah.
They don't have that. They went out, basically they swapped him out and brought in Torrey Krug. I like Torrey Krug a lot. The fact that his numbers were significantly down, and probably not as significantly when you start prorating 56 games against 82, but there's a lot there that didn't work this year. How much of that is that transition? I wasn't able to watch them day to day. I can't say that, but I would just say for the talent and breadth of that Colorado lineup, I just don't see St. Louis, even though they will attack, just as Zia said here, they like the pound game, and that really cost the Bruins. They lost Grizzlick there, and Grizzlick has become an even more important player now for Boston. I think in the end, if I was going to bet on a series to sweep, I'd have Colorado right now.
Yeah, the funny thing is that if you looked at the first 40 games of the regular season, Colorado might have been one of the big disappointments in the NHL. You were waiting for them to explode. I mean, they did win the President's Trophy, and they did win it on their last game. But we thought that they would come out of the gate and be run and gun all season long, and they sputtered. They sputtered so much. The fact that they're on their game now, and Philip Grubauer is playing as well as he is now that he's healthy. This is a classic. And right now the Blues are playing pretty well too. This could actually be a much deeper series. I expect Colorado to win, but this could be a much deeper series than people anticipate, because both teams are probably playing their best hockey of the year.
And guys, to our earlier point about goalies, I think one of the you know, best kind of under the radar pickups at the trade deadline was Colorado getting Devan Dubnyk, because now, you know, again, if Grubauer gets hurt, and I know he's in COVID protocol right now, but at least you've got a kind of little bit of comfort back there if something happens to Grubauer.
We got to move through these, otherwise we're not going to get done. We'll still be talking while the playoffs are ongoing.
Well, the regular season won't be over that, though.
But the regular season might not be over, but the playoffs right. will be done. Boston, Washington, let's go right there. And we have to start with KP on this one. Two teams that are very good hockey teams that I felt kind of cruised through the regular season for the most part. Do you share that assessment? And which of these two teams actually has the switch that they can flip now that it's really meaningful?
I would agree with your depiction on Washington. And again, there's asterisks all over these discussions because of the COVID impact.
Of course.
And they got slapped with it early there with the four Russians playing cards in the room. But beyond that, I would say, again, for the profile of their star forwards, which in terms of depth, you know, better to attack with the two lines. Bruins have fixed that considerably with Hall filling out that second line with Krejci and Smith over there. So I don't know if Cruz, I will say the Bruins got backed into trying more parts on the back end. They ended up dressing 13 defensemen. Hmm. They decide not to give Chara a significant role on the back, so they have to go out and get Tenorti. They get Riley for the back end as well, so they had to kind of do patchwork on the defense. So I would say the team most capable of turning it on, if they can get all their stars in and off COVID and everything, would be Washington. What concerns me about Washington going in, again, two rookie goaltenders,
yep,
against Rask with 93 games and a terrific kid who's going to dress as the backup in Swayman.
No, I mean, when I look at this series, I mean, I Taylor Hall was the perfect fit for Boston. That's what they needed. They went out and got him. I think when you look at the forward units on both these teams, they're close. I think Washington might have an edge on the back end. But Boston definitely, to me, has an edge in goaltending, and that I think is going to play itself out. But, you know, Kev, I thought at the time that the Bruins made a mistake by letting Chara go, not only on the ice, but off the ice. He has shown this year that he can still play. He's not playing 25 minutes a game.
Nor should
he. He can play 17, 18 minutes. He can kill penalties. And when you saw him score his first goal for the Capitals,
yeah,
and you saw that team pour out onto the ice like they'd won the Stanley Cup, okay, that's the influence that Zdeno Chara can have off the ice as well. And, you know, it'll be interesting to see in what I call the Chara Bowl if the Bruins look back and say, you know what, we really screwed up on that decision.
The biggest question for me with this one is the health of TJ Oshie and Alex Ovechkin. I mean, Ovechkin has played this last week a little bit, but he went through a stint of playing 39 seconds over 8 games. And let's face it, Bruce Cassidy and the Bruins know that. And is Ovechkin hittable? And TJ Oshie's injury, which was a freak injury a week ago, you have to wonder how severe it is and whether he can contribute at his regular level. Those are the two things for me. The other one is and Kevin, you touched upon it, is I'm curious to see how the Bruin blue line is able to exist in this series. When you can, and this is not a knock at Mike Riley, but when Mike Riley can come into your lineup after being a journeyman through the league and particularly Montreal and Ottawa, the last couple of teams, and make this much of a difference, you're going, man, oh man, has he become Bobby Orr overnight because he goes to Boston? Or is that just showing the deficiency of that group in its total?
Yeah, and we don't have that full answer. I think part of that answer is he gets the right coach in Bruce Cassidy.
Okay.
Bruce Cassidy likes that game. I think he does well with those kinds of guys. What I find interesting, we've had this discussion and haven't brought up the W word, Tom Wilson. So I'm eager to see how that plays out in this.
Wilson season. Or Bergeron.
Islanders Pittsburgh, intriguing at the early part of this season, or there was a point in this season where there would be several people who would say, you know, look out for the Islanders. They may be good enough to win a Stanley Cup. What we found out is that Pittsburgh, I think, has the best record over the last 40 or 45 games.
Mm-hmm.
They've been like,
they won the division, Bob.
Yeah. Well, and I'd like to tell you that it had nothing to do with Brian Burke going there, but the two were coincidental. I will have to admit.
Please. Well, please.
I am not suggesting for a second it has had any impact whatsoever.
He wasn't Sydney's next left winger, okay?
I guess.
They will get off the bus all with their ties around their shoulders. Yeah.
does this suddenly look like a one-sided series? KP, to you.
Not to me. No, I can't tell you. I love the Islanders because they can't score, I don't fully understand why they can't score, but they don't, and that's it. But they've got an excellent goaltender. They've got a superb coach. Their decor is, you know, other than a couple of guys who filled in on emergency basis, they've gone with the same 6D, and they're big. What their best game I saw against Boston was denying good ice, you know, denying that sort of.
They won the first 5 games of the season against the Bruins.
Right. And not by mistake. They're able to tie that down. Not the most exciting hockey, obviously, but that's key. So you get a great goaltender, you get that commitment to defense. I see them, I see them prevailing if they win enough 2-1 games. Now, maybe Pittsburgh doesn't allow that.
Z?
Well, I mean, the trouble is when you get into a series like that, okay, and you're going to, you know, you're playing against a defensive team and you get frustrated because you're not getting the chances you want, you're vulnerable on the counterattack because you start getting lazy when you get frustrated. So do we believe enough in Tristan Jarry to believe that when the flow goes the other way, he can make the saves when he has to make the saves? And that's, to me, that's what it's going to come down to.
Right.
I don't think it's a fact that they can't score. I think Matthew Barzal, if you're talking about God-given talent, is one of the top 15 players in the league. But, you know, I think the reason they don't score is that their coach has bungee cords on all their players. And when they cross the opposition blue line, you can only stay in there for so long before it gets yanked back. I mean, that's just the system they play. But the Penguins have had problems with the Islanders in the past. They eliminated the Penguins 2 years ago from the playoffs. And so, you know, I look, it's hard to bet against Sid, and I'm not going to now, but history shows that Barry Trotz has had some success against this team, and that's going to be an issue for Pittsburgh.
This is, the Penguins are a team, a lot of the teams we talked about did do something at the trade deadline. You know, Washington did with Mantha, obviously Boston did with Hall. Jeff Carter has changed a little bit of the personality and the dimension of this hockey club too. A, because he can play center and be on the wing. He's a lot less responsibility for Crosby and Malkin every time they're on the ice too, because there's another veteran guy at 36 that can make a difference. Mike, when you were talking about the frustration, I couldn't help but think about Matthew Barzal, who's a gazelle, you know, and Barry Trotz, you know, he doesn't want gazelles. You know, he wants rhinos.
Horses.
He wants rhinos. And I just don't see. And I think that second half of the season, we saw Barry Trotz trying to tame Matthew Barzal more than anything else. And that's whether he's tamed him or whether he's going to let him loose, to me, is the biggest question of the series.
And can I throw a question in there? Do you think this is the Trotz we're getting because he works for Lou Lamoriello? Because that wasn't the style in Washington. It was conservative, but he had a whole different arsenal too. So I just wonder if it's the coach kind of being coached down from above.
Well, I certainly think there's something to that. I mean, I there's no way to know for sure, but we've had a long history with Lamoriello, and getting to know him isn't the easiest thing in the world.
Nice. Well, by the way, Bob, we could ask him, and you know what he would tell us?
None of our business. That's right, exactly. We all came
some
up with the same hypothetical
the
response.
So and we all love
that question. Is who knows? I guess
and we all love
is
Lou.
The answer.
Lou
we
would come on and Lou. Say, "Robert, how are you doing? How's your family doing? I'm not talking about my team."
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
That's
well, right. He'd come on and not talk. I mean, he likes to talk, but he doesn't want to talk in public. Anyway,
it just seems some cause effect there to me. It's so,
I think there is. Yeah. We're halfway. Let's take a quick break and come back with more. Kevin, Paul DuPont, Mike Zeisberger with us. Back after these messages. It's McCowan and Shannon. We are dissecting, if you will, the Stanley Cup playoffs, which are set to open.
This is the best Bob has ever been at dissecting. Bob would say, who cares about the playoffs? You know, you're good today, Bob.
Woof. Well, I essentially don't care about the playoffs, to tell you the honest truth.
I know.
But in deference to the three hockey pucks that are surrounding me, Tampa Bay, Florida becomes interesting, too. I mean, there's a few interesting series in here. We know Tampa Bay is a good hockey team. We know that they've had injuries. We know that arguably their best player has been out whole year, virtually the whole year.
Virtually the whole year. Kucherov, yeah.
But is set to come back, we think. Did I hear Stamkos is going to play too in the postseason?
I defer to the Stamkos public relations department, Mr. Zeisberger.
Oh, Bob, why are you asking us? I mean, he's one of the selected members at your course, is he not?
He is.
It's not open though.
Yes, and he spends most of his time in Florida these days, so I rarely see him anymore. So, what is the answer? Is he going to play?
Yes.
Is he close to healthy?
You know what? That to me right now, with guys matter. Like this, that's a hard question, because I really think that some guys, because of cap issues, guys that maybe were ready to come back sure. potentially 2-3 weeks ago, you know, it's like the quarterback going up to the line when the home crowd is cheering and just putting his arms and telling them to, you know, calm down. And I think some of these guys sat to get healthier when you're in a situation maybe. Like Tampa. I'm not sure that's the case with Stamkos, but I do think that he and Kucherov are going to be ready to go when the series opens.
Well, an all Florida series that in years past would have been completely one-sided, but I'm buying into this Florida team. I think they're for real. I don't know how good they are, but Mr. DuPont, they're pretty good, aren't they?
Yeah, right with you, Bob. I mean, Bill Zito walked into a nice situation there.
Boy, did he ever.
This isn't to take credit away from him, because there's a lot of GMs who are in good situations who screw it up entirely. So he obviously made them better. He's got an excellent coach. You know, they don't have the equivalent of Hedman. And, Hedman is my Norris Trophy winner no matter what. And they got a great goaltender. So you've got great coaches. You've got, arguably great goaltenders on both sides.
Mm-hmm.
And so much of it will be, to go circle back to where you began this, just what kind of pop does Tampa get out of these two elite forwards? I think with Kucherov, you just have to say, you know, they'll get what they get, I guess. I think we'll see more out of Stamkos than that, obviously. But in the end, it will rise and fall on whether those two forwards can separate them from a more go back to the expression I was using in Minnesota, a more parts as parts approach in terms of Florida.
You know, the fascination about what you were talking about with, Florida not having its headman is, I thought their season was done when Aaron Ekblad went down. I thought, Florida's done it again. I mean, they've improved, the culture's changed, they've done so many good things, and then their best defenseman is gone for the season. But they haven't missed a beat. They've done very well, and a lot of it's because their forward group. And you talked about Zito walking into a great situation. Their forward group is so good. And have finally matured at the same time. And I got to give Joel some credit. Joel Quenneville went in there for a year and learned what was right and wrong, and has made a huge difference. Don't you think, Mike?
To me, that's the biggest difference. I mean, with all due respect to the incoming general manager, Joel Quenneville, I mean, last year was his first year. He got to see what was going on there. Okay. The culture around that team has changed. And I put the majority of that on Joel. I think he's a hell of a coach. I always have. That's easy to say when you've coached three Stanley Cup winners. He's kind of old school. You look at the way that he coaches versus John Cooper, there certainly is a difference in philosophies, but they're both great coaches. But I think the biggest thing down there is the culture. Because think about this, guys. The Florida Panthers in their entire history have won three playoff series. All those series came in the same year when they went to the final.
Oh, please don't even mention that, because I'm going to get a phone call from Doug McLean just reminding all of us that he was the coach at the time.
Yes. Well, good luck with that. Tampa won four series last year on their own. So they won more series in one year than the Florida Panthers have in the history of the franchise. And I think that Joel Quenneville, again, I can't give him enough credit for the way he's changed the culture down there.
Well, we've waited as long as both franchises have been in the league for a Florida Tampa playoff series, because we thought it would put the rivalries and would help support NHL hockey in Florida, particularly on the east side. And we finally got it, and hopefully there's enough fans in the building to enjoy it. And because this is going to be a great rivalry for a long period of time if the teams keep continuing to play the way they are.
Well, John, the trouble is the Florida arena is in the suburbs of Tampa.
Almost.
Well, it's as close to Tampa as it is to Fort Lauderdale.
Well, it's in the suburbs of the Everglades.
We have to figure out a name for the series, though. Is it called the Gator Bowl? What is it called? Is it?
We don't need a name.
We need a name. We need a name.
I want to point out one thing before we move on. And that is, it's intriguing to me, and I'm sure many others have pointed this out. The job that Dale Tallon did in Chicago that resulted in three Stanley Cup champions, but he didn't survive to see it. He goes to Florida and essentially builds that team. I mean, not totally, but essentially builds that team, gets fired there. And now here they are, a team capable of being a contender for the Stanley Cup. I just think it's interesting, but I don't know what it means. Nashville, Carolina, another one that you could argue is maybe one-sided, and no disrespect to Nashville, but Carolina's been kind of a darling all year. This is a pretty good hockey team. Who do you like in that series? Z, do you first?
I think if there's going to be a one-sided series, it'll be this one. Because I look at Nashville, where are their goals going to come from? I mean, you know, they've got guys there like Duchesne and Forsberg a little bit, but these guys haven't shown in a long time that they can be game breakers. I mean, I like Nashville's defense, but I just, the way that Rod Brind'Amour has these guys playing in Carolina, they come in waves. They don't let you take a breath. I think their defense is very underrated. The only thing that when I look at Carolina is they got three goalies. Like, what are you just going to, you know?
And you can't play all three of them at the same time. So.
Well, you can play one per period if you wanted to. I suspect that won't happen, but.
Tom Landry in the early 70s with the Cowboys, he put Roger Staubach and Craig Morton every series they would change. So maybe they do that. But no, other than that, you know, and all three of their goalies are good. I really see this being a short series.
Agreed.
I watched some Bruins teams. They only wish they could have had three goalies and played one every period for different reasons. So I will say, as we're talking about this, I think of both Florida and Carolina in the same vein, which is, I wish I'd seen a bigger sample size throughout the original 31 to get an idea of exactly what they are. Right. And that's, I think that's the difficulty in all these divisions, you know, whether it's the Hallmark division or the Quaker Oats division or whatever they are, you know, that we're only seeing them sort of inbreeding. I have my doubts about Carolina, and I have to admit some of that is thinking of Dougie Hamilton as the stud defenseman.
Right.
And there's a lot to like about him, but I saw him at a very young age here in Boston, and I wasn't all that enamored.
But Kev, just to your point, who's Nashville's Barkov? Who's their Huberdeau?
Well, yeah. No, I
don't
totally
exist.
Agree. Totally agree.
Yeah. Yeah. Listen, the only way that Nashville's in this case, in this position, is they've had great goaltending the last 25 games. And finally, their blue line became healthy. And we've loved this blue line for almost 10 years. And the question will become is whether they can win games 2-1. And I'm with the firepower in Carolina, I think you have to have your doubts.
We have perilously little time, so we got to go quickly with this. Edmonton, Winnipeg, 6-8 weeks ago, you would have said Winnipeg would be the definitive favorite. Now I'm not sure. Who do we like here? Zeisberger.
I'm not betting against Dreisaitl and McDavid. I think that McDavid had his season this year was one of the best that we've seen in a long time. I don't care how many games were played. I think he was generally peeved off last year at the way things ended.
Yeah. He was embarrassed. I think
that Dave Tippett probably had a little bit of a smile on his face during the offseason going, you know what, it's good that these guys are pissed off because they learned a valuable lesson. I think Darnell Nurse has taken a step, another step in his development. They've used Tyson Barrie. I mean, you don't want him out there in the last minute of a game trying to protect a one-goal lead. But what he's done on the power play has been outstanding. And we keep going back to goaltending. I mean, if Mike Smith is for real, my pick is Edmonton. You never know when you've got Hellebuck at the other end. But I just think the drive of these guys and the bitter disappointment of last year, I think that they digested a little bit of what Tippett's defensive system is all about. And I think that it's going to be a different Edmonton team this time around.
Kevin Paul?
How one city ever got Gretzky and McDavid in the same, general part of a century is beyond my imagination. It's just, I love watching him. I love his speed. I've never seen a player like that who can execute at that speed, which doesn't answer your question. My issue with Winnipeg is there has been virtually no mojo there for the better part of, 4 or 6 weeks. Mm-hmm. Some of that's Blake Wheeler being dinged up, I know. But I just think the respective energies on both sides make this look like a landslide to me for Edmonton.
Oilers won seven of nine games against Winnipeg this year.
Yeah, well, to me, that's something. I hate to cut you, John, but we have 2 minutes here.
Anyway,
the last series.
The question becomes for me is, will Dubois do what he was supposed to do after the trade? And can Hellebuck become a Vezina goalie, a goaltender again? And the answer is, I don't think so. And it has to be an Edmonton victory.
Fortuitously, I don't expect we will need a lot of time to dissect the Toronto-Montreal series. This appears to be one-sided. The Maple Leafs should win this comfortably. Mr. DuPont, yes?
No, I'm going to defer to Z on this. Z, you kick her off.
I agree with you, Bob. But here's something that is going to be fascinating for me real quick. If the Habs get Gallagher back, so you've got Gallagher, Corey Perry, and Josh Anderson, okay? Forget about what happened in the regular season. These guys are going to set up their real estate in the blue paint or beside the blue paint. How the Leafs handle that and how they do the same with Wayne Simmonds and Foligno in front of Allen or Price is going to determine that, because this is going to be a different Montreal team. They don't have the same skill level. We don't know how Carey Price is going to play, but I can guarantee you this, those three guys I mentioned, starting with Corey Perry and Gallagher, are going to cause all kinds of havoc in front of whatever goalie the Leafs play.
Hold on. How Carey Price plays? How about if Carey Price plays?
Well, there's that too. And look, in conclusion, I will say this much. If the Toronto Maple Leafs lose another first-round series.
Oof.
Yeah, oof is exactly right. I don't even know where to go with to finish that sentence.
There's no chance. There is no chance.
I don't think there is either.
Tim Hortons moves to America.
Or goes out of business entirely. Just throws up their donuts and
there's
says,
no, listen, there's no, the Maple Leafs are too deep. Jack Campbell has solidified their goaltending. The blue line is so much better than it was.
I don't disagree.
There's no chance Montreal. I mean, the question is how many games?
Well,
not a question of whether the Leafs are winning. It's how many games. Is it four or five?
John, Shannon? I'll end with this. Just remember that, your buddy Glenn Healy there 1 year beat Yager and Lemieux, so anything can happen.
Yeah, but that was quality goaltending.
Just ask him.
Everybody's on record. And as a podcast, you can look at it anytime, forever and ever, amen. So there's no hiding from the comments of this program. And I address that comment specifically to you, Mr. Shannon.
Oh, I'm sure.
With a little bit of luck, we'll do this again before the next round of the playoffs, if the creek don't rise. We thank you both. Stay happy, stay healthy, and thanks a lot for our time today. We appreciate it greatly.
Lovely. Thanks, gents.
See you guys. We'll come back and wrap this thing up, put it in a brown paper bag, leave it on somebody's doorstep after these messages. It's McCowan, it's Shannon. We thank Zeisberger and DuPont again for joining us.
It's hard to do the whole league when a guy like Kevin works in Boston. He's only seen one division.
Well, we're all kind of in the same boat, except for you with your 12 satellite dishes. And
yeah, I know. Yeah.
You know.
And no other life. So.
And no other life and no other interests whatsoever.
Yeah.
Is there an upset in here that you would say is the most likely probable?
I'll tell you what. I just would not. It's two. I'm going to do two. Sorry, Bob. I'm going to do two.
That's all right.
I would not sell St. Louis short. I just wouldn't. You know,
it's
they
Colorado.
Are, the I know, best but, record in the but, NHL. But Mike's point about big boy hockey. But Colorado's record, yes. But you know, it's
their playoff.
We all talk about the playoffs change. We all talk about how the playoffs change. And St. Louis would scare me. If I'm Joe Sakic, I'd be pretty scared about what's going on there. The other one is, and people are going to laugh at me. I think Nashville might put a scare into Carolina. I really do. I think it would not surprise me with what they have on that team in Nashville, and the Soros goaltending has been impeccable for the longest time. Nashville could upset Carolina. They really could. It's a lot closer than people really want to admit, because right now, and we've talked about this a number of times, Carolina is the flavor of the week right now. Whether it's Brind'Amour, whether it's the team. I think I think Nashville's just sitting in the weeds. I agree
that they're the flavor. Carolina's the flavor. I'm not going to agree that Carolina will lose in the first round. I just don't see that happening. But we will find out soon enough. That'll do it for us for today and for this week. Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll catch you back here on Monday. Goodbye.